Now let us hear God's word. This is the text on which Pastor Ralston will be speaking this morning, Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith.
Well, this morning you have already noticed that I am wifeless, without wife this morning. Kathy is visiting her parents in Arizona. Her niece graduated from high school this past week. And darn it, I just couldn't go because, you know, I had to be here with all of you. And thankfully, this was scheduled months in advance. So when she just had to go to Phoenix to visit my in-laws, I just couldn't go. That just made me so sad that I don't get to go to Phoenix where it's going to be 115 tomorrow. And yeah, so you know about in-laws too. I don't have to tell you that story. Some of you have amazing in-laws and some of you can talk to me about your situation later. So with that, that's where Kathy's at. Lansing is here, but he is unable to drive me. So thankfully, I have a good friend from Modesto who drove me out today. So it is a joy to be with you again. We're going to do an interesting scripture text this morning, so you can follow along in your notes there. And it was fun working in the church office this week with all of your construction going on. I believe at one point, Lansing actually got up and looked at me like, what is going on with the building shaking, with the noise, with the crazy loud equipment right outside the Troy's office there. So we took some video and some pictures and sent it to Troy and said, you know, working conditions not very conducive for meditational prayer this afternoon at Escalon Presbyterian Church office. So it was quite the experience having the large excavators and all that fun equipment right outside the door. So it was quite fun. So let me pray, and then we'll jump into this text today, if you would, please. God, we thank you for your scriptures. We thank you for the power of your word. We, Lord, understand that it's not our jobs to necessarily even understand everything, but your Spirit will enlighten us, and you'll help us to understand what we need to understand today, that you'll help us to apply what we can apply. And I pray, Lord, that you remind us that this is not a human endeavor. This is a Holy Spirit-led endeavor where we allow you to enliven us and refresh our minds, that you make us new through your word, that this word is living and active and will never return void. Lord, help us to be open to your Spirit's leading today. Help us to be open to your word. And I pray, Lord, that you would plant this word in our hearts and that it would grow and would bring a full harvest of obedience in us, and that we, Lord, would be empowered by your Spirit to obey your word, be doers of your word, not just hearers of your word, and that we, Lord, would be changed and drawn closer to you by our time in your word. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, I'm going to begin with a true confession. I am somewhat of a rebel, somewhat of a rule breaker, one who definitely likes to violate the rules. Now, not the laws. I'm not saying I'm a criminal. I'm not confessing crimes to you or that I break the laws. See, in my view, rules that you see in your daily life, you know, the sign that says, please use other door, or the sign that says, don't walk on the grass, or detour this way, those to me are guidelines. They're guidelines. That's different than a law. A law is something God has established on a civil and criminal basis. He's allowed our government to set up rules, to set up laws. We may not always agree with them, but they're laws that we're to follow. The Bible's pretty clear about that. Obey the government. Then there's sort of a set of laws beyond that, the moral law of God. This is the Ten Commandments, and you know that, the moral law of God that never changes, that Jesus affirmed and actually expanded in the Sermon on the Mount. But even beyond that, there's kind of a universal law that God has set up the way the universe runs. The law of gravity would be a great example of that. It's just, it's going to apply no matter if you agree with it, like it, or whatever. The law of gravity is going to apply. You go up to the top of the church building today and jump off, you're going to fall down to the ground. Even with a parachute, your fall will be a little slower. The reality is those are laws. I think guidelines are different. Guidelines are just things that are set up that might be the wiser course of action or the polite, respectful course of action. I think it's okay to break those now and then. But God, in his great sense of humor, has surrounded me with people who do not think it's okay to break those. Rule followers, those who are bound by the legalistic life, you know, those who think guidelines are almost the same as God himself put those in your hearts. And one of those people happens to be my wife. Yeah. I've been blessed with an amazing wife, but she is a rule follower, like many of my closest friends and family members, and they get a little annoyed with me when I tend to break those guidelines. For example, one of the earliest marital conflicts Kathy and I had, a marital conflict, that's different, in case you need to know. One of the earliest fights we had was actually in an airport, going through security. See, I think the TSA, I travel a lot, and the TSA provides guidelines for what you can get through security, right? I don't always adhere to those guidelines because I travel a lot, and sometimes they catch things and sometimes they don't. So I happen to have a bottle of mouthwash, criminal that I am. I tried to get a bottle of mouthwash through in my carry-on bag. I knew it was there. I didn't forget about it. I knew it was there. I just didn't care enough to follow the guideline. Well, because in my view, if I break that guideline, what's the worst that's going to happen? They're going to take the bottle of mouthwash and throw it away. Big loss, right? But in my wife's view, I have broken a law. I have broken a commandment. Thou shalt not transport mouthwash through security. So thus, I was going to publicly embarrass us when the TSA agent pulled it out of my bag. I was going to delay us and cause a public spectacle of ourselves as we dealt with this. And most brutally of all, I was not going to consider her feelings. That's the one that actually made sense to me finally, that I changed my criminal ways. But the reality is, I thought that was a guideline. I didn't think it was a law. I thought it was a guideline, and I still do. I just know now, because I love my wife, I'm willing to follow it for her benefit, not for my own. But it's important to distinguish laws from guidelines. Laws from guidelines. What you have in your scripture today is a law. This is not a guideline. This is not suggestions. This is not if you'd like to follow this, or perhaps it'd be better for you if you followed it. No, this is not a guideline. This is not even a rule that you can break. This is a law. That's why I called the sermon Law of the Harvest. This is a reality in our lives. This is part of the universal structure that God has set up. This is one of those universal laws that God has established as he ordered the creation, as he ordered the universe. This law applies in every situation. There is no exceptions to this. The law of the harvest is going to apply. That's why Paul is so firm in this section. He's so straightforward and without apology, because the law of the harvest is always going to apply. Always. No exceptions. Whether you like it or not, whether you feel good about it or not, is not a factor. This is the law of the harvest. Not a suggestion, not a mandate that you can choose not to follow. This is going to happen even if you don't want it to. So look at what this law of the harvest is. You will always harvest what you plant. You will always harvest what you plant. You will always reap what you sow. In other words, whatever situations you choose, your choices are important. You will harvest something that is responding to those choices. Paul's very clear about this as he starts in verse 7, if you'd follow along with me. He says always kind of means always. You know, always means always. In every situation, this is going to apply. He says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. He's warning people. It's a strong warning, those first few words. Don't be misled. Over and over again, the world will try to mislead us, try to distract us, try to say, no, it doesn't always work that way. This is not the law of the harvest. This is the guideline of the harvest. Sometimes you can choose things, and you can do things, and you can plant seeds, and you're not always going to harvest this. That deception started with Satan in the Garden of Eden. He was trying to get Eve to eat of the forbidden fruit, and what did he say? Surely you will not die. This is not necessary. Yeah, God said that, but he didn't really mean that. And he planted that doubt in her head. And what happens? She doesn't think the law of the harvest applies. She doesn't think God's actually going to, and she's misled, and she's pulled away. Paul says, don't be misled. Don't be misled. The justice of God will not be mocked. You cannot mock the justice of God. And what that means is God has set up the universe in a certain way where his justice will reign. When you plant, you will harvest. That's the way it works. When you plant a tomato seed, you will get tomatoes. When you plant lemon tree, you will get a crop of lemons at some point. When you plant corn, you get corn. That's the way that works in the natural world. It's the same way it works in your spiritual lives as well, in your emotional lives, your financial lives, your personal lives, in every part of your life. What you choose will lead to what you get. That's the way it works. And Paul says, if it didn't work that way, if you could plant tomato seeds and get avocados, or if you could plant corn and get wheat, then the world is turned upside down. There is no order, there is no structure, and the justice of God would not apply. So that if you chose sinful habits, it wouldn't lead to anything. It would just lead to, you know, blessing. That's not the way it works. God's justice will always be fulfilled, will always happen. You cannot mock the justice of God. So when you make choices, let's say, and you think, it's a little one of those safe sins like we talked about a couple weeks ago. This isn't really one of the big bad 10. This is kind of a little safe sin. Nobody knows about it, and I can just sort of, no, you're starting to mock the justice of God. You think that that's not going to ever come back on you, but at some point it will. You will always be found out. That sin will always be bringing a cost of some sort. It will always happen. That's what's promised. I was reading an article this week, a story about this pastor in Minnesota, a little small town pastor, and he decided he was going to sell the church building. Now, you all remember a story that happened pretty similar in Ripon not too long ago. This pastor thought he was being pretty smart, though. He was going to sell it and rent it back from the person who purchased it. He arranged all this secretly with nobody else involved. He got the big payoff, and then he was going to rent it back from the owner, the new owner. And he thought no one would ever find out. And you know what? For 8 months, nobody did. The church paid rent on their own building for 8 months before somebody finally went, "What's this check we're writing to this guy?" Then he was found out. But somehow we think in our heads, we convince ourselves that we can do these things and it's never going to come back on us. We mock the justice of God. We think that's not going to ever come back. Be it the small little safe sins or something so horrible like that pastor did in Minnesota, the reality is God's justice will always, always come into play. You will harvest what you plant. Notice Paul in verse 7, there's no caveats there. There's no, if you are a nice person, you're not going to harvest what you plant, or if you're giving to your Sunday school, that's going to, no. You will always harvest what you plant. Paul goes on to be more specific about this in verse 8, applying that law of the harvest, the natural world, into your choices. He says in verse 8, if you choose to live to please the sin nature, you will harvest decay and death. If you live to please the Spirit, you will harvest eternal life. Now notice what he says there. This is a lifestyle. This is, you are living this way. It's not the one-time bad choice or the one-time good choice. This is the consistent pattern of living this way. You're consistently allowing yourself to make choices that please the sin nature. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's the sin nature is dead for Christians. That has been crucified with Christ. It has no power over you. It's that rechargeable battery I had up here that's dead, without any juice, without any power. It only has power if you give it power. So as you choose to please the sin nature gets stronger and starts drawing on you more. And before long, you're spiraling down into those acts of the sin nature we talked about. And what has Paul said? Ultimately, you will harvest death and decay. Now think about that for a moment. It's a sobering thought. Decay and death. Decay of relationships. Decay of your finances. Decay of your health. Decay of your personal situations, your joy, your peace, your security. All that begins to erode. It begins to decay. And then ultimately, death of relationships. Death of your financial stability. Death of your physical health, ultimately. This is a dangerous road, and Paul says, you will harvest what you plant. If you choose to live to please the sin nature, that is what you will harvest. Death, decay. When I was in seminary, one of the most difficult internships I had was I worked at a hospice for AIDS patients. In the late 90s, AIDS was still ravaging a lot of the communities in Chicago area, and I worked with patients where I saw this in play. I worked with clients where I saw this. Their choices had led them to death and decay. Some of them, thank the Lord, had repented of their sins, but they were still experiencing the physical consequences of their choices. Some of them had not repented and were still angry at this fate that they had ended up with. It was a very difficult situation, but I saw this in living proof. People who ended up with their bodies decaying away, their spirits being eroded even by the hopelessness of that disease. The reality is, this is what you harvest if you choose to plant things, choices that please the sin nature. If you choose that route, that's ultimately what's going to happen. There is no escape hatch. It doesn't suddenly change. Even repentance will obviously prevent the spiritual consequences, but God allows the consequences to stay sometimes. God allows the consequences to stay. He'll forgive, he'll save your soul, of course, but those physical consequences may stay there. Look at the opposite. When you choose to live to please the Spirit, look what you reap, eternal life. When you choose over and over again to obey God, that's what choosing to please the Spirit means. You're choosing those things to obey God, and over again, you see what's starting to happen? The Spirit is growing stronger in you. The Holy Spirit's influence on your life, the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. You get more of the fruit of the Spirit, the joy, the peace, the patience, the self-control. All of a sudden, that starts becoming more, and you start living more closer to where you're supposed to be, closer to God's original design. So all of a sudden, eternal life, yeah, that's that ultimate promise of heaven, sure, but eternal life starts now. When you're living to please the Spirit, making those choices, you start tasting that eternal life now. The presence of God is strong in your life. The peace of God is stronger in your life. The joy of the Lord is stronger in your life. All of a sudden, relationships, while they still may be difficult, you have a lot more wisdom and self-control and gentleness and kindness, and all of a sudden, your relationships are getting better. Finances, maybe you're choosing now to do it God's way, and all of a sudden, finances are not as rough as they used to be. Workplace relationships, personal relationships, your health can even be better. The studies show that if you're living with patience and joy and peace and all those, it does affect your physical health. And all of a sudden, your physical health is getting better. The reality is, when you make the choices to live for the Spirit, to live for the Spirit, again, a consistent pattern of simple choices every day, that leads to eternal life. You will always harvest what you plant, Paul says. You will always harvest what you plant. Now, the problem is the timing of this. Because when we plant, we want to harvest when we want to harvest. We want it now. That's why Paul gives us verse 9. Verse 9 tells us the timing is not up to us. He basically says, so do not grow tired in doing good, because at the right time, you will harvest. You will reap a harvest of blessing. But notice, at the right time. The Greek there is in the proper season. In other words, when God says so. When God says so. If you think about it, the way it works in nature, you don't necessarily harvest year-round. You don't have a crop of fruit appearing on your fruit trees every single week. You have a season where that fruit appears, and it gets ripe, and it's ready for picking at certain times. If you think about your harvest of grains, there's a certain season where you can harvest, and then it's done. That's the way it works in God's timing as well. It's God's decision when it's ready. It's not our decision. It's not our decision. See, this is something called delayed gratification, and that's very difficult for us. Gratification is simply when you get what you want. That's what it means, that fancy word, gratification. You're gratified, you're satisfied, you get what you want. Now, in God's plan, a lot of times that's delayed gratification. You make choices now that you will get what you want later. That's difficult for us because our entire lives we're immersed in a culture that says instant gratification, instant gratification. I don't know about you, but that's in our daily life. You see it all around you, in the media and on everything you read and watch. You see it. Get it now. Get what you want and get it now. Get what you want and get it now. Pay later, sure, but let's get it now. That's the reality of what our culture teaches us. Not just this culture, it's every culture. Since Adam and Eve, once again, what did Satan say? Get it now. God's holding something back from you. You don't want that. Get it now. Get what you want. If you look at all the characters in the Bible, David, how did David get in trouble? Instant gratification. He wanted what he wanted when he wanted it and didn't want to do it God's way. All the way through to the New Testament, we have Judas and all the other bad guys in the New Testament. They got what they wanted when they wanted it. They weren't willing to trust God's plan. That's what it comes down to. Are you willing to delay gratification, or do you want what you want when you want it? I don't know about you, but I struggle with this one. I'm not very good in the patience category. I have been known to stand in front of the microwave urging the microwave to be done faster because the microwave's just not fast enough sometimes, and I want what I want now. And I'm telling the microwave to hurry, which is ridiculous when you think about it. We're not good at delayed gratification. We need God's help to do this. That's why Paul says this reminder, do not grow tired in doing good, but trust God that at the proper time, at the right time, you will reap a harvest of blessing if you don't give up. Did you notice that last phrase? If you don't give up. It's so tempting when you're tired, when you're weary, when you've made all the good choices and you're waiting on God to bring that harvest of blessing. It's so tempting just to give up at some point. When I first encountered this verse, I was in seminary. I had been praying about a situation in my family for, at the time, 13 years. We had a difficult situation. We had a family schism where one member of the family had split from another and they were at odds. They didn't want to talk to each other. They avoided each other, which put a lot of pressure on the rest of us. And we had two members of the family who could not be in the same room together, would not speak, would not have any relationship for 13 years. I had been praying about that for 13 years. I'd been praying that God would heal that. And you know what? God had not healed it. It was still going on. And it was driving me crazy. And one of my close friends in seminary, I told him all about it. We had prayed together for several years about it. And finally, one day, I just said, that's it. I'm done. I'm not going to pray about this anymore. I'm just going to stop. I just can't do it. I'm so tired of being disappointed and disillusioned every time I pray about this. Every time I try something, God gives me some inspiration. I share it with one of those family members, and I'm just done. I'm done wasting my time, is actually what I said. And he quoted this verse, Galatians 6:9. I really wanted to throw a coffee mug at his head. Now, thankfully, I didn't. But in the moment, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear, just keep on going. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear, you're right to give up. Go ahead, give up. But God says, don't grow weary. Don't grow tired in doing good. Praying for family reconciliation is a good thing. Praying that God would work, that God would do a miracle, that's a good thing. Keep on praying. And at the right time, God will bring. You'll reap the harvest of blessing. Well, I fought with God for a few weeks, and you know how that goes. You never win when you fight with God. So eventually I caved in and submitted to God and kept praying, kept doing what I could to bring reconciliation. Turns out I couldn't do much, but at least I could try. It took 3 more years, so 16 years of praying, and finally God began to work. It took a crazy set of circumstances, but ultimately those two people reconciled. God was glorified in that one became a Christian through the whole experience, and God was glorified through that. But sometimes it's so tempting to give up because we get tired of doing good. We get tired of planting those good seeds, those good choices, and not seeing anything come of it. Delayed gratification is very difficult. That's why you need the Spirit to help. That's why we need the body of Christ to help. When you're making good choices, surround yourself with people who are also making good choices, who will encourage you and strengthen you and help you to keep going, and every once in a while risk a coffee mug being thrown at their head by quoting you Galatians 6:9, that you need to keep on doing good. Keep on doing good. Trust God that His timing is perfect, that in the right season, at the right time, God will bring a harvest of blessing. You will reap that harvest of blessing. You will get the good results. It may not be in this lifetime. You may not see the harvest of blessing until we're with Christ. But it also could be around the corner the next day. We don't know. We need to trust God with the timing. That's what it comes down to. Trust God with the timing. Oftentimes, this is a challenge because I meet with people all the time that are either recovering from bad choices or trying to make the good choices, and they're just not seeing those results. And this is when it comes down to it. Are you willing to walk in faith and not by sight? Are you willing to trust God even when you don't see the harvest of blessing coming? Are you willing to still make those good choices? Are you willing to? That's why Paul says in verse 10, as you put all this into practice, as you choose the choices that will please the Spirit, live in the Spirit, as you choose to walk in that direction, and you continue to do good even when you're tired and weary of doing good because you're trusting God, you get to verse 10, he says, therefore, which anytime you see a therefore, you always ask, what's it there for? Because of this, we now have to be willing to take every opportunity to do good. Because as we plant seeds and good choices, as we do the right things, God's going to bring you more opportunities to trust Him. God's going to bring you those opportunities, and you need to consistently persevere and continue to make the good choices. Verse 10 says, when the opportunities come, so when that opportunity knocks, Are you willing to do good? Are you willing to choose to do good? Are you willing to keep planting those good seeds and those good choices and trusting God? He'll keep giving you those opportunities to keep doing good, to keep doing good, because that will, again, accentuate the fact that you're trusting God, accentuate the fact that simple choices every day leads you to a much better place, and you're living outside of yourself. You're putting others before yourself. You're putting your faith number one. You're prioritizing walking with Christ number one. He'll continue to bring those opportunities. You continue to do good. And notice it says, first to the family of faith. What's that about? Are we not supposed to help the world? Are we not supposed to serve in our communities? No, Paul says, first, you help the family of faith. You do good to those in your family, of your church family, your Christian community, because that strengthens you to have then a better outreach to the world around you. When we're doing good to each other first and taking care of each other first, we're fulfilling our family obligations, we're the body of Christ, that strengthens each of us then to go out and serve the world around us, to do good in the world around us, because we do it together. We're going to be better together. So the reality is we do the good first amongst ourselves, but it doesn't stop there. We do the good in the community around us too. We reach out to our neighbors, our friends, our school communities, our workplaces. We're willing to serve with love and do good to others, but we're doing it together as the body of Christ. We're much more effective if we're doing it together as opposed to alone. So Paul says that's the reality. Do good first to the family of faith, then you take it outside the walls of the church, outside the church property, and serve and love those in your community. But it's all about the choices we make. It's all about the seeds that we plant. You will harvest what you plant. So what choices are you making today? What choices are we making? Those simple choices every day have big impacts. We sometimes think they don't. Whether they're sinful choices that lead us down or spirit-led choices that lead us up. Simple choices every day make a big difference in our lives. So what choices are you making today? I taught this at our youth group not too long ago, and I challenged the 15, 16, 17-year-olds in the room. What choices are they making today that affect the rest of their lives? What choices are they making that affect the next few years? It's the same for adults. We make choices every day that affect how we're going to live, that affect our futures. Then if you are making good choices and you're planting good seeds, what choices are you waiting on? You're waiting for God to bring that harvest of blessing, and you're getting a little impatient and maybe a little tired. Maybe you're getting weary and you're tired of waiting on God. And maybe you're like me, you're ready to give up on a prayer or give up on a situation. God's calling you today not to grow weary in doing good, not to grow tired, but to trust him. Because at the right time, he will bring a harvest of blessing. You can trust that. You can trust that. It may take years, it may take decades, but God will always keep his promises. We know, this being Memorial Day, that God keeps his promises. We remember those who gave their lives, who sacrificed themselves, and we know that God still keeps his promises, that he is a God that goes beyond the temporary, that goes beyond just today. He's a God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And we celebrate that because we know we can trust him. We know we can trust him. So wherever you find yourself today, I ask you to look at the choices you're making, to trust God with the choices you're making, to not grow weary in doing good, but continue to do good. For God has called us to be people that trust him, that walk forward led by the Spirit. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you that you do give us choices each and every day. You give us choices, but you also give us the Spirit to lead us. We thank you that in every Christian, we can trust that the Holy Spirit is present, guiding us and directing our steps if we'll only trust you. I pray, Lord, that today you would help us to examine the choices we're making. If we're making choices that are pleasing to sin nature, that you would confront us. You would make us uncomfortable. You would stir in us a desire for repentance and desire to change. Lord, if we're heading down a road that maybe nobody even knows about, that we're choosing to let that sin nature get more powerful, I pray that you would spark in us a spirit of contrite heart and a repentant spirit today. Lord, if we're making good choices, and those choices are frustrating because it seems to be taking forever, Lord, I pray that you would help us to trust you, that you would remind us that we will get the desires of our hearts when we choose to love you and know you. I pray, Lord, that you would remind us to trust you by continuing to make good choices, even when there's no harvest, there's no results. I pray that you would remind us that at the right time, you will bring a harvest of blessing and that you can be trusted. Most of all, Lord, I ask you just to speak into our lives, to remind us that you're real, that you're present, that you're active, that you care more for us than we can possibly understand, that you will never leave us or forsake us, and that you walk with us every step of the way. In your name we pray. Amen.